tweet at Today SOR.
And you can tweet or you can text us on 51551, because after 11, we'd be speaking to our regular expert on wills and probate, Tim Bracken, a barrister and author of The Probate Handbook. To send in your questions and queries, as I said, text us simply on 51551. You can email today, SOR at RTE.ie, and we'll try and get through as many as we can. That's coming up in the second half of the programme. Now, of course, this week is Holy Week, the most important time of the year in the Catholic Church calendar. However, this year's Easter ceremonies, naturally enough, are being celebrated without the physical participation of the congregation. On the line is Father Michael Collins, a priest in the Dublin Diocese and author of several books on the papacy. Father Michael, good morning and happy Easter to you.
Good morning, Damien. Happy Easter.
This must be really strange times for priests all over the country. You're continuing to do what you do, but with saying Mass, for example, with no congregation to respond.
Well, that's right, yes. And a large number of the priests are over 70, as you know. So that means that that cohort are obliged to remain at home. And it's not possible for them to go across to a church. So the younger priests are certainly trying to help out. But a curiosity is that people have moved on to web streaming and RTE. I have to praise RTE very highly, both on radio and on television, because the Mass has been broadcast every day from a number of different churches on RTE News Now, which a lot of people have enjoyed. And I think that's possibly going to go on for the long term, at least as this pandemic.
Yeah, there was a Mass said yesterday from Mullingar.
That's right, I saw it. Beautiful,
yeah,
Mass.
A beautiful,
really lovely.
Beautiful
and,
Mass.
And very different. Mm-hmm. Quite different. So it was a little bit like I sometimes go to opera from the Met in the cinema. And you know the way, it's one thing to sit in the opera house with people coughing and unwrapping their suites and moving chairs and et cetera, and then to go to the cinema where everybody's absolutely enraptured and you have close-ups of all the singers,
Could this, Father Michael, be the way of the future, that this is the way people will actually, partake in Mass rather than physically going to the local church?
Well, actually, it is already the way of the future, because over the last number of years, a lot of churches have installed webcams. And that means that many local parishes would have a cam. Originally, it was a radio so that the sick would be able to listen into the local 10 o'clock Mass in their local parish. And I remember those in parishes over the last number of years. But then they were superseded by the webcam so that anybody with access to an internet or to the computer will be able to follow the Mass from their local parish. Already been the case.
And what do you say to the more devout of your flock that feel, missing Mass, it's a sin, and that they must physically attend and there's holy days of obligation to be adhered to at this time of the year?
No, I understand. Absolutely. Yes, you're quite right. I mean, the thing about it is it's a great privilege to be able to be involved in the worship of the church, which has gone on for 2,000 years among all Christians in different shapes and forms. And there have been times when, for example, I was just reading this morning about the penal days. For over 134 years, Mass was prohibited to be celebrated in Ireland. So therefore, you had to go to a Mass rock, and there were some very brave priests and people who would gather. But they were putting their lives at risk, and many of them indeed were killed by the authorities. So, no, people shouldn't worry about that. I think it's a great privilege to be able to participate in the prayers of the church, because prayer comes in two shapes. One, private prayer, when you, as Jesus said, you go into your room, you say your prayer to God the Father, and you ask for your daily needs. But then there's the communal aspect, because we're all social people, and we like to get together, and many churches have very beautiful liturgies, and very often there's a cup of tea or coffee afterwards, and some places there's even a meal. So there's two ways, and we have to get used to that.
Yeah, there is, as you said, if you can call it that, the social element of it, or the ritualistic element of Sunday Mass for people and families, those that are very spiritual and those that maybe as so-called a la carte, that's all been missed now. But in these tough times, and in tough times in the past, a lot of people return to the church or turn to spirituality to try as a source of comfort and a source of help. Is there any evidence at all that is happening in these tough times?
Well, do you know what? I wouldn't be in any way competent to say, but I have noticed that, for example, the Jesuits have a website called Sacred Space, which has been running for a number of years, and their hits are increasing. I don't know what they are, but they've got a lot of things set up. And actually, the younger people are possibly a little bit luckier because they've got huge resources. There's gallons of web pages. Today, actually, being Good Friday, is a day when we wouldn't even have Mass. We would just gather in the church at 3 o'clock to remember the hour that Jesus was crucified. And we would simply read an extract from the Gospel, which is called the Passion Account. And people can still do that. They can dust down the Bible, take down the Bible. They can go on internet. They can get that. And they can read it themselves at home. And then we just venerate the cross, just honour the cross, and many people have a cross at home. You can get one at the internet, or you can make one with your fingers.
Okay, well, Father, thank you indeed for joining us.
Damien, could I just say one little thing?
Of course.
I was listening to, with great interest, the contribution about children a few minutes before, and for my own spiritual reading this morning, I was listening to a reading of Anne Frank's diary. And she was a young Jewish girl from Germany who was brought in refuge to Holland and lived in Amsterdam during the time of the Second World War. And in 1942, when shortly after the Germans had invaded, and well, we know that the role of the Second World War, she and her father and mother and sister and a neighbour took refuge in a little refuge in the attic of their house. And she had to live there with those five people for 761 days. And I would just say, if you want to do a little reading, and this goes for parents and for children, to read that story, there's a fantastic website about the attic where she lived. And she, after 761 days, she was taken away, first put in Auschwitz, and secondly, she was brought to Belsen, and there she died. And I just think, one thing struck me when I was listening to that. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was killed by Jewish and Roman authorities who ganged together. Mm-hmm. And in the 1940s, Jews were killed by the German authorities and the Christians who ganged together against them.
Yeah. Well, the story of Anne Frank's well known to so many of us and poignant, as you said, at this point in time. Father Michael,
a lot of people if they think about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Father Michael Collins, I know you yourself have a busy weekend ahead of you. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. And remember, there is lots of streams and webcams of various religious ceremonies over this weekend.